It's time for the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. Sponsored by Compos, your home for fun in the great outdoors. And now your host, Craig Compo.
Okay, welcome Fairbanks. We're back with the Compo Outdoor Show. And last week, we talked to our service manager, Dakota Arnold, about how to put your snow machine away properly. And obviously the season's winding down fast there. Most of you have already taken care of putting your sleds away, and you're thinking ATVs real hard, unless you've been plowing snow all winter with your ATV. We're inviting Dakota back. Dakota, for those who missed last week, tell us a little about yourself and how you got into this kind of business.
I'm born and raised here in Fairbanks, Alaska. ATVs, snow machines, boats, wheelers, those are all things that I needed to get out into the backcountry as a kid. And then now as into my adult life and being a hunting guide and tour guide, these are all things that I've just learned how to fix and operate now since I was a small child.
You've worked for Compos off and on over the past decade, both in, well, in all departments, which is always best. You've been in the sales department, you've been in parts, been running the service department for a while now. And that's really helpful when you come from another department, so you know how the parts side works, about back orders, you know about just in time, you know about, overnight deliveries and all that to get stuff for the service. Your service department in a power sports industry is your biggest customer. And so a lot of times it's easy to forget that, but that is your biggest customer and you got to take care of them. Many years ago, 2009, myself and one other dealer in the state were instrumental in getting some legislation passed. It was when Palin was governor. And that was basically what was happening before that was these manufacturers were pretty predatory. And what they would do is, let's say your shop labor rate at the time was, $90 an hour. And the manufacturers would be paying $40 an hour. And oftentimes that didn't even break even, by the time you move it in, thaw it out, work on it, write an estimate, do all the work that takes to get it done, and they paid you on a warranty 0.3 hours, which is 20 minutes to do a job. And of course it took an hour just to thaw it out in your shop and your heater's going and price energy. So we got some legislation done to really help the service departments around the state. It was a law we based on Louisiana law, and I think Montana had it, just two states, where the manufacturers basically were treated as a customer. They paid the retail labor rate. They paid retail on parts. They didn't like it, but it wasn't fair to the dealers to have to basically, you're subsidizing. And of course, if it was a heavy warranty year, you're having to push some of your retail, more profitable business down the road, say we can't get to it because we're fixing this. Fortunately, with our product line, that's kind of minimized. We've got way fewer warranties than we used to. The product's getting a lot better, and so we're not seeing as much of that. But anyway, I just wanted to do a little history on the service department and a little bit on Dakota. So today I wanted to talk about getting the ATV ready for summer. Majority of people, if they don't plow with them and use them in the winter, majority of people have just let them sit outside. And so obviously you can't just go always hit the button and go four-wheeling. There's some prep work to do to them and some things you should check. If you put them away properly, we'll talk a little bit about that maybe at the end of the segment, but we're gonna concentrate on just getting it out, getting the cover off it, getting it out of the garage, getting it out from under that blue tarp, and start with a visual inspection. So what are some of the things you want to look for on a four-wheeler, Dakota, when you're first getting ready to ride it?
First thing you should do, take that cover off it, you go into your shed, wherever you had that thing stored, just give it a general walk around. Wintertime, the mice, the voles, they all look for a nice little place to make a nest, and ATVs tend to be that nice little place. Look for stuff that just looks out of place, like maybe it's been chewed on, maybe there's fabric materials or cotton or something underneath the wheeler that would indicate that they had gone in there and made a nest. And if you do find that, it's super important before you even try and start that machine to figure out what got broke during the wintertime because of animals or vermin getting into your machine.
Yeah, okay. And then, of course, the another thing you'd want to look for is the tire condition. Obviously, cold weather takes the life or the air out of the tires. What should you look for if you don't have a pressure gauge, or even if you do, what is the normal tire pressure on most four-wheelers, and where do you want to check that? I mean, how do you want to check that?
Yeah, ATV tires, side-by-side tires, they all range from anywhere from 5 PSI up to about 12 or 15 PSI, all depending on kind of rider comfort and kind of what you're doing with the machine. Big thing at the end of the season is, do you got a big droop sitting there? Does it look like your tire's melting into the dirt? That would, you know, indicate that you are low on tire pressure. And do you got cracks in your tire? Has it started to deteriorate to the point where it will not hold air anymore? Or will maybe it holds air now, but it's just an unstable tire that's going to leave you stranded at some point during the season.
And front and rear tires are typically a different size, or not always, but they're generally a different size. So you want to make sure they look uniform left to right. As far as a wear, you could have outer wear. You could have just a low tire on one side. You're going to see it sitting down a little bit. And then you'd want to air it up to the proper tension. And more importantly than that is check it right after that, I mean, shortly the next morning or day, or make sure you don't have a leaky tire, right?
Right.
And then, okay, so some of the other things we talked about, just things to look at in the winter that could have, you're right with the voles and shrews and stuff. They love to make nests and everything, and I've seen them create havoc. I mean, really bad situations. And if you don't even take the seat off to look, those loose particles can get sucked in a carburetor. They can do additional damage, so you want to... Those little guys can raise hell under the seat or anywhere, you know, hoses, everything else. So let's talk about brakes a little bit. You know, important part of a four-wheeler. I know they're just something you're a good idea to check because you maybe put it away at the end of the year without really checking. What do you look for in brakes?
Yeah, it's real easy on most newer wheelers that are running disc brakes. Just turn your tire, take a peek. You just want to make sure that, you know, you got at least an eighth inch of pad left. About eighth inches, typically where we start recommending replacing them. You want to check and make sure that there's no cracks in your brake lines. You can grab your handles or your foot pedals, make sure that you still have good brake pressure, indicating that everything is still sealed and those brakes are functional. Drum brakes are a little harder. They really, without tearing into them, really the only way to test them is to use them. So, you know, you can get the machine up to a mile or two. That way, should they not work, you're not going to put yourself in any kind of danger. And test and make sure that they're good, you know, that your cables haven't stretched, that they don't need adjusted, or that your cables aren't frayed or broken or in need of attention.
So let's say you go to get on it for the first time and you go to grab the brake and it goes almost to the handlebars. Where is that problem generally located? How do you address it if it's not a brake pad issue?
If you got soft brakes at the start of the season and a couple pumps doesn't bring your pressure back, it is normal should you let the machine sit for a few months for brake pressure to be gone or little, but typically just a couple pumps will bring it back. If you pump it and it's just not building pressure, you have a leak in your system somewhere, and typically I take the lazy man way out of that and I'll pump it until I see fluid coming out of wherever the leak is. It just makes your job a little easier, and that can be lines, calipers, junction blocks, reservoirs themselves can have cracks in them. You just kind of have to kind of backtrace the whole system there. Brake systems are pretty simple, and you just got to figure out where that fluid's coming out of the system.
Simple but critically important, right?
Yeah.
If you have no brakes, you're in trouble. I mean, a lot of these machines have engine compression braking. Some don't, but brakes, regardless, are important. And you got a hand brake, typically a foot brake on a lot of these machines. The type of fluid you use, DOT-4 usually, or...
It varies manufacturer-wise, but there's new synthetic brake fluids out there that are applicable for both DOT-4 and 3 systems, and that's primarily what we run there in the shop. Just if you get an older wheeler that needs DOT-3, you're not worried about putting the wrong fluid in it.
Let's talk about the main engine for a minute. You know, most of these modern four-wheelers are all four-strokes, fuel-injected four-strokes.
Yep.
Not all of them, but most of them are fuel-injected four-strokes. There's been two-stroke four-wheelers, the older ones out there. There's been some carbureted engines. So as far as the engine itself, I mean, all of them have a pretty easy dipstick to find. So beginning of the season, what do you want to check for regarding oil?
Regarding oil, you want to check them. Obviously, make sure it's still there. Make sure that oil level is still full. It hasn't drained out over the winter. You also want to check a lot of times if the oil's dirty, what color is it? Is it black? Is it yellow like most oils are nowadays? Obviously, if it's black, it's probably about time to change that. You shouldn't store it with dirty oil. Life happens. It happens. It's not that big a deal. But right out the get-go, if you got dirty oil, you should get some fresh stuff in there to start the season with.
And what about filters?
Filters are the same thing. If you really want to get in-depth to check in and make sure that your engine is in tip-top shape for the start of the season, take that filter out and shine a light on it. Look for anything. You get any kind of sparkles or metallic in there, it's not glitter. That's motors coming apart. And it's a good idea to check. Or water. There's a lot of times you'll get water in there and not realize you got water, and you'll have kind of a waxy paste in there come springtime.
So most of these filters are a replacement type, not a hose out and clean up, right?
Or, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so, oil's cheap, and even as much as it's gone up, oil is cheap. Filters are cheap when you compare them to the price of an engine. So what kind of oil? I mean, they make winter weight and summer weight oils. I guess it depends if you're plowing snow, which this year a lot of people bought a lot of plows. Talk about that a little bit. What do you do? And I know, obviously, check your owner's manual, but what's out there for what we use for oils?
So at Can-Am recommends just running a zero weight oil at all times of the year. They do have a summer blend and a winter blend. Your winter blend is going to be a full synthetic. Full synthetics at colder temperatures still have no problem being flowing. Their viscosity still stays pretty liquidy. And it's not bad to run those in the summertime, but typically a summer blend will be a mixed oil, a blended oil. And the reason for that is when it's hot, oil gets hot, it tends to get liquidy on its own. So an oil that's liquid when it's cold is going to be like water when it's warm. So they typically put a little thicker oil in there to prevent oil washout, to where you're still getting good lubrication all over when it's nice and hot.
And so let's talk about if a guy wants to change his own oil. Obviously, he can bring it in if it's our product, the Can-Am, and we can do the oil changes. Not that expensive. It's not a really big job. But if somebody wanted to do their own, what's the process? Do you get the thing good and warm? Is a oil drain easy to get to? What's the process?
Typically, I like to get the motors nice and warm. Let them get up to temp anyways to where the thermostats would open. A lot of guys don't like to get it that hot. I find your oil drains better. You'll get more dirty oil out of your motor if it's warm. And that just goes back to what we're talking about, oil flowing versus hot, cold. Every manufacturer is different. Every drain plug hole is different. You can call your dealership or us, and we might be able to help you out with it. All of us have experience working on other brands of stuff. But generally, they're easy to find. Filters are easy just with looking at it to know right where the oil filter's at on that motor.
So usually filters, is there an O-ring in there or just a filter?
It varies on machine. I know like Yamaha uses an external filter like your truck would normally use. BRP products all use internal filters like most Fords run. So it varies. Either way, there'll be either an O-ring on that external filter or there'll be an O-ring on your cap. You don't have to replace those. It's a good idea just to guarantee not having a headache down the road that every time you pull your drain plug, you're putting a new copper washer on it. Anytime that oil filter comes off, there's new O-rings going on with it that insignificantly priced in the scheme of things.
And you're better to use the manufacturer's oil. There's other oils on the market. You want to be careful about saving a buck somewhere, or is it what are your oil options?
In my opinion, you get what you pay for. If you're going to run the cheapest oil you can find at Walmart, I wouldn't be surprised when that oil fails. Obviously, if you have a newer machine for warranty purposes, if you can prove that you put the oil that they recommended in there, you're never going to have any issues that way. Doesn't mean there's not other good brands of oil. Anything name brand is probably going to be a pretty solid oil for you to run.
Yeah, I remember years ago with snow machine oils, there was one particular brand. I won't mention it. Yes, I will. It was Chevron oil, but it was the old, we called it Red Death. I mean, they've improved their oils a lot, but way back when, it was not adequate for snow machines. It caused a lot of problems. We did a test where we checked oils at 40 below, and some of them wouldn't even come out of the jar. They literally wouldn't move. You want an oil that flows good in cold weather. Again, if you're going to use it multi-season, you don't want to have to worry about it. Just spend the extra few bucks, get a good oil. And now they make an oil change kit, right?
Yep.
So when you come in, you get the oil, you get the O-ring or whatever you get. I mean, if it's a snow machine, and you get the filter and everything else, that makes it real easy. Okay, well, listen, we're talking with Dakota Arnold, the service manager at Compos. We're going to take a little break here and come back and talk about batteries and other things you can check before you get that four-wheeler fired up.
The Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio will return right after this.
For more than 75 years, the go-to outdoor business in Fairbanks has been Compo's. Bob Compo Sr. first opened the doors on 12th and Cushman in 1945. A lot has changed since then, but one thing hasn't changed. Compo's passion for getting you outdoors and away from the rat race. And their business philosophy can be wrapped up in a few words Bob Sr. used to say. And that's, treat people right and they'll tell a few others. Treat them poorly and they'll tell a few dozen. Compo, on Boat Street, doing business in Fairbanks since Harry Truman was president.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, a look at Alaska's budding new industry, brought to you by Good Titrations, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. Then it's the Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30. And don't miss Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30, talking everything food and fun in Fairbanks. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to the Compo's Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio.
All right, beautiful spring day here in Fairbanks, and we are talking with Dakota Arnold. We've been talking, last week we spent a lot of time and we talked about how to put your snow machine away. And incidentally, most of these shows, or all these shows, are archived. You can go to the KFAR archive. So if you missed that and you want to, you haven't put your sled away yet or haven't done it properly, might be worth your time. It's, 30 minutes could save you a few hundred bucks if you learn something. So that was good, and I appreciate you coming in, Dakota, and going over that stuff. And today we've been talking mostly about how to get your four-wheeler, or we didn't discuss side-by-side. A lot of the mechanics are the same as far as the maintenance, but more and more the side-by-sides are getting really popular. So what we talked about in the first 15 minutes of the show pretty much applies as far as tires and oil and just the basic maintenance. More so than snow machines, it's a lot more important to power hose. If you don't have a pressure washer, even if you go down to the local car wash where you can do your own thing and have it on a trailer, really, really important, because the summer, the dirt, the bacteria, the debris, the moss, the things that can grow in the summer are way more prevalent than those in the winter. The winter, we worry about shrews getting into stuff, you do that in the summer too, but you worry about that, but you're not so concerned with dirt and bacteria on a snow machine. So let's talk about the average quad that comes into the shop. Do they clean it for you?
Not at all. There's I would say probably 75% of the wheelers and side-by-sides that I get in the shop, I get them when they're completely caked in mud, they're covered in grass, and we do charge you. So I mean, it saves you money to go clean it yourself. I charge you at minimum an hour of labor, which is $125, and you could have went and spent $20 to go pressure wash it at the car wash.
Right, because it takes a lot of time. You got to get all that stuff off, or you can't see the damage, you can't diagnose them properly, and people just assume that that's part of the deal, and it's a labor intensive. So you want to clean it before you bring it in, for sure. But what kind of problems do you see from people that consistently don't wash their machine?
We actually have a side-by-side at the store right now that it was one of those. He went mudding a lot with it. He didn't wash it. He got grass packed in places where grass shouldn't be, and his side-by-side caught on fire for it. That is obviously the extreme side. We don't see that regularly, but it is a hazard you run if you don't take care of cleaning up your rig. I mean, you wouldn't drive your truck through a mud hole and not hose it off when you got home. A lot of times, too, it accelerates bearing wear, accelerates suspension components, wearing out CV axle boots. It tears them, cuts them, breaks them down. It just, all of your wearable items that are basically going to eat your lunch at the end of the day. If you just spent the 5 minutes to clean your wheeler, you'll save yourself a lot of hassle.
So what do you use? I mean, a pressure washer, but soap is good. Brush,
yep.
Just like you'd wash your truck, just scrub it out. And not just from the top side. You got to get underneath it. You got to get down there, and that's where the bad things happen, right? Yep. You get grass packed in next to the exhaust. You get dirt caked in by the brakes. You get all this kind of stuff. So just a good, not a real expensive, but just a good quality pressure washer. Hit it hard. And you'll see the results are what you see on the cement floor out in the yard. You know, you'll see a pile of what you just cleaned off of that thing. So really important to do that. And it'll save you a lot of money. That's the probably the single biggest thing that'll cost you money. And then the other thing is, I mean, things get bound up. So it puts additional wear on bushings and whatever. Let's talk about where are the grease points on the ATVs. What do you have to do for lubrication of the body, suspension, et cetera?
Yeah, I can't speak for most other brands, but at least on all Can-Ams, all of your suspension, your A-arm bushings are going to be a greasable joint. And the inside of the frame, you'll see a greaser on every A-arm up front. In the rear, the only thing you can grease is your sway bars. The front sway bars are not don't have a greaser. They're a sealed boot. The same thing goes for your tie rod ends. A lot of times, though, you won't get much in there, but if you spray it a little bit with some sort of grease or, you know, something that's not going to get washed off the first time you put it back in the water, it's just not a bad idea to keep those boots lubricated and keep those from dry cracking, dry rotting out throughout the season.
And as far as that goes, if you just do that basic maintenance on a regular basis, you're going to prevent a lot of problems. Grease is cheap. And the same thing, you want to grease it till you see grease come out somewhere.
Yep, yep.
And the other brands you're talking about, just other brands, if the owner's manual typically has a diagram that shows you where the grease fittings are. Yep. And if you've lost that manual, if it's still soaking wet inside your quad, you can go online, you can look there, you can call the dealer. Most of the dealers are going to be helpful. You know, we don't take offense when somebody wants to do their own service. You know, we're usually busy. We're a big dealership. We sell a lot of products. We love to work on your stuff, but we understand if somebody wants to save a buck and do his own work, we just try to help you with the right products. You want to have the right greases, the right oils, the right filters, and don't. If you're doing it yourself, you've already saved some money, so don't be cheap and buy the lowest quality everything. For example, on some filters, I can't remember, Snow Machine, four-wheeler, I know on the four-wheelers, if there's aftermarket filters, but they're not designed to handle some of the pressure. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so a lot of times you'll get an aftermarket filter won't be quite, as far as the filter rating, they're fairly on par, but they won't be quite the right size. Even if, you know, if you, like on all Can-Ams, they run in case filters. If your filter was even just a quarter inch shorter on the aftermarket one than the factory one, you're going to have flow problems. That thing's not going to sit tight and hold a seal, therefore it's not going to flow oil right, and you can starve your motor out and lock something up because of oil starvation.
Then there's what about the diffs? I mean, there's some regular maintenance you got to do on the differentials. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so every part of your machine that has oil in it, it's a lot more critical on an ATV or a side by side to keep up to date on those fluids. We take our wheelers through a lot of stuff in the course of a day ride in Alaska. You're going to go through every kind of trail possible, from dry groom to mud, blood in the guts. You're going to go through it all. And so it is not uncommon to get moisture into your transmission, into your diffs. So it is pretty critical to check those regularly. I go through more nasty stuff than the common guy. I check, I change everything at the end of the season, and then halfway through I go through and check them again because it's not uncommon for me to get water in my diffs. And what you're looking for is a milky color where water and oil is starting to mix. Or you can just straight up see the water sitting on top of the oil because it hasn't mixed yet. But if you do have any kind of water in there, you are going to want to change it and flush it. Every time we do a transmission or a diff in the shop there, everything will get a double kind of quantity of oil. Oil's cheap. We can flush water and dirt out of the system and replace it with fresh stuff.
And, of course, just like snow machines, a cover is important. Keep the direct sunlight off it. We talked about that last week a little bit. The panels get faded over time. You know, Alaska's got, we've got more sunlight in the summer than anywhere else in the United States, hours of sunlight. So it's critical that you keep them covered. The little rubber latches that hold things on, they get dry rotted. And it might not happen the first year or the second year, but by the third year, at least, you're going to start seeing weather crack. It's just that they're black. There's direct sunlight's hitting them. And so save you a few bucks just keeping it covered or in a garage, you know, out of direct sunlight. Talking with Dakota Arnold from Compos, our service manager. I want to thank you for coming in. Going to spend a few minutes while we have left talking about a couple other things, a couple of events coming up. I was honored that I was chosen as one of the two recipients for this year's Legends and Heroes Award by the Scouts. A real honor. I was thinking there's a lot more people out there deserving of it than me, but I'm honored to be recipient of it. We are going to have that event. The Scouts are putting that on, and it's going to be at Compos, actually, on May 18th. It's going to be great. We're going to have Glenner from the radio station here. He's going to be doing the roasting. So if you're interested in that, you can go to the Scouts office. You can either go by personally over there by Two Dice Pond there, or you can go over, or you can go online to the Scouts, or you can call us at a Compos, and you're going to want to get tickets. They're going to sell fast. They're already selling fast. Going to be neat. There's going to be some good auction items. There's used snow machine, generator, some other fun stuff. Going to be a lot of fun time. That's May 18th. I think it's I should check. It's a Wednesday or Thursday. I'm not looking at a calendar right now, but it's middle of the week, and it's going to be in the evening, like from 6 to 9. We're going to have great food, have some good entertainment, have some fun videos going, so want people to be aware of that. Have any questions on that, you can call me at the store at Compos, or I'm trying to help the guys do it. It's a fundraiser. You know, there's tables of 10 you can buy. You can do a corporate sponsor. You can do individual seats. You can buy three seats, whatever you want. And it's all through Eventbrite. So you can just go online to the Scouts office, click a button, buy your tickets, get it out of the way, and know it's coming. It's about a month away. So I want to remind people about that. The other thing I wanted to mention, I'm involved a little bit in a new business that's we're just kicking off. Actually this weekend, it's the Shooters Shooting Simulator, something that I was really impressed with. Had a couple of partners that we went in on, bought one of these machines. It's a 130-inch screen with hundreds of scenarios, and you're shooting airsoft, but these are Sig Sauer pistols, and we've got getting some ARs in, but it's just amazing technology, very realistic. There's hostage situations, there's zombie blasting, there's hunting scenarios. So it's a lot of fun. We're setting it up. It's going on this weekend. You can swing by, and for 10 or 15 bucks, you can try like three scenarios, any of these scenarios. There's alley fights and everything else, home invasion. So it's pretty cool. But it's upstairs at the Roundup, which is at 2701 South Cushman Roundup Steakhouse and Saloon. So you can go in there. We're going to be open from 2 o'clock on Friday, and then today we're open until 11 at night. So if you're not doing anything, swing by Shooters. Swing by, you'll see the Roundup sign there. Just go upstairs and round up and plink away. It's a lot of fun. Anything else you can think of on ATVs, Dakota? We got about a minute left or so. Anything that you see people forget to do to their ATVs, or is there anything, any just tips, anything from safety to storage to anything else?
Yeah, a lot of times I don't see people give too much attention to the steering and suspension in the front of the rig, which on a four-wheeler is your lifeblood of the machine. If that fails, you're kind of stranded. Good idea, just every once in a while, grab that tire, give it a shake. You feel a clunk, there's something there deeper you should be investigating.
Don't keep driving it.
Yeah,
most of these machines now are power steering.
Yep.
A lot of everything built past 2012 or whatever, and that can be an expensive repair. So you can catch it ahead of time. There's some preventative maintenance you can do, right? So
yep.
Make sure it doesn't fail. Well, that's going to be another episode of the Compo Outdoor Show. Thank you to Dakota Arnold, service manager at Compos. If you have any questions specific that you can think of, give him a call during the week. We're happy to help. And in the meantime, stay tuned for next week's show. Same time, same station.
You have been listening to the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio, streaming live at KFARradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past episodes, simply click on the Compos Outdoor Show in the Archives tab on the website.